G'day, guys. Welcome back to the DUC Migrating to Australia podcast. We just had a really good podcast with Luke McGee about buying properties, and he's joined by Andrew Fisher, the head of finance from Stay Rent Buy. This is the second of two episodes we've done. Andrew, over to you, mate. Introduce yourself, please.
Thanks, guys. Nice to be on the podcast. Yeah, I head up the finance arm of Stay Rent Buy under the licensed brokerage of U Financial, which I'll go into more detail as the podcast progresses. But, I started my previous working career in insurance with a general insurance company and moved into insurance broking. And then that naturally led, you know, looking for the best deals for your customers, the best outcomes, the best solutions, looking after their claims when they had storms or fires. So that then naturally led into working in the mortgage broking industry, which I've started back in 1999, giving away my age.
Indeed when Andrew and I first met some 20-odd years ago now, wasn't it?
Down in Melbourne, yes. I was migrating down from New South Wales, country New South Wales, and, had 6 or 7 years in Melbourne before moving to sunny Queensland for a bit of a sea change and a bit better weather than good old Melbourne town. I've got a Cert 4 and diploma in finance and mortgage broking management. I've also got a DFSA and B in core regulated financial services knowledge and specialist regulated financial services knowledge for financial planning. So gives me good scope to be able to look at customers' needs and hopefully fulfil those needs for the customers.
It's so interesting, Andrew, because like I'm everyone who's in the finance, there's even our like foreign exchange providers and all that sort of stuff. It's such a regulated industry, isn't it? I guess it's good that it is, but it's unbelievably regulated. So it's good we can get your credentials and the listeners know they're listening to the right people. But let's just get to the bottom of this. We'll start from the start, I guess. How does someone go about obtaining a home loan in Australia?
So people really have a couple of options. It's either via bank directs, where they can only offer you a few products and their own policies, or via a mortgage broker, where we have up to 80 lenders on our panel to choose from and compare to find the right solution that fits the individual client needs. I think the figures are 72% of Australians choose to carry out their lending solutions through a mortgage broker. So it's really all about service and choice. And then you get down to the lender's own requirements, you know, employment, minimum times for full-time or permanent part-time, which is usually around that 3 months. Casual is a bit, you know, casual has its little idiosyncrasies, but yet they like to think that they'll like to see that the person's had at least 6 months in casual employment. Then you get into, you know, genuine savings, what's required for that if we're lending up, you know, we can get lends of up to 95% plus LMI for both owner-occupiers and investors. So the genuine savings come into effect there. But again, all the lenders look at it differently, and that's why you deal with a broker, because one bank will say no and there could be many others that say yes.
Very importantly, if I can just interject there, this is one really important piece of using a good mortgage broker is that if you apply for a loan directly with a bank whose policy might not fit your needs, that will be recorded on your credit file. And then when you apply for another loan with another bank to try again, that will show up on your credit file. And because one bank has said no, generally speaking, that will come up as a red flag and give the other bank a reason to automatically say no.
Going
to a finance broker who knows the various banks' policies and ensures that your first application is approved, make sure that that mistake doesn't happen. Sorry to interject there, Andrew.
Guys, I'm in the world of bringing people to Australia. So we've got two people. We're going to have people arriving as a permanent resident and people arriving on a temporary visa. How does the lending policies differ for those two?
Well, with an Australian citizen or permanent resident, they can purchase a property in Australia, either living here or as an expat overseas. So we deal a lot in that space. There are many lenders available in that space, all with greatly varying policies. Then we have temporary residents and people on special visas for those living and working in Australia who come from overseas. And depending on that visa type, we can find a specific lender in this space. Although the lenders in this space are limited, depending on many factors, we find a lending solution in most cases. And then lastly, we have non-residents who are looking to purchase a property in Australia, and we have some specialised lenders like Brighton Home Loans and Finn Street available in this space, who will not only lend to full-time income earners, but also, importantly, some self-employed customers, and that's very rare. So, yeah, this lending can cover both owner-occupiers and investors.
So we've got, I guess you've got four big banks in Australia. I think it's four big banks pretty much.
It's actually five now. They've thrown Macquarie into the, yeah.
Macquarie's gone up the market. Anyway, I don't think they're too big in Victoria, but they're big Queensland. They were huge in Queensland, weren't they?
Massive in the broking space. Macquarie are really a pleasure to deal with, quick turnaround times. They think commercially, even though it's resi lending, they do think commercially. They have some really good policies, and they're a pleasure to deal with, Macquarie, probably number one.
Who else is there, Andrew, as well, apart from the, well, okay, let's go. So you mentioned one of the big banks, mention the other three, and then let us know who else is a provider in the market.
So obviously we've got your big four, CBA, NAB, ANZ and Westpac. So we've got about 45-plus lenders on our panel. You know, tier two lenders, you've got, you know, the non-major lenders often offer better rates and specialised policy niches in many cases to help customers out. Your tier two lenders, as they're referred to, are also very trusted and have been in the finance game for years. So, you know, lenders like ING, Bankwest, AFG, Home Loans, you know, just to name a few. As I said, there's 45-plus lenders on our panel. So that gives us the ability to find some little niches that the lenders might have. One that just came onto the panel very recently uses income, like board, when you're renting out a room in your house. They'll actually use that for servicing. The only lender I know that does that. And there is many people doing that now with the inflation, kids living at home. As long as it shows as rent on the statement and you've got at least 6 months of that, they use that for servicing, which is absolutely fantastic niche.
Andrew, this is great because obviously, you know, you can do all of this. You are a finance broker. This is what you do, and you are able to provide those options. But there must be so many options. I think it's a bit like migration. People go on social media and say, oh, well, I'm this, I'm that occupation. Can I do this? Can I do that? Other random people they've never met before give advice. But really there might be a simpler or smarter way or an easier way. That's exactly what you're doing to our migrants, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously technology is helping us to, you know, whittle down where those niches are. So it's certainly technology has been a godsend for, you know, everyone, but for our industry to be able to just, what, you know, work our way through the maze of what lenders offer what, and trying to find the best fit for the customer. I mean, I just, when customers ring me or, you know, want some advice, I just I always say to them, you tell me what you want and I'll try and get that for you. I'll try and find that solution. You mightn't get everything you may want, but I'll try and fit whatever you need to get you what you want.
Yeah, well said, mate. Well said. Luke, I know you have personally spoken to me about the importance of getting, you know, loan structures correct, and it's not just interest rates that matters, but just explain that to the listeners, please.
Yeah, look, 100%. I'm so passionate about this, and indeed, I started my life, professional life in this industry as an employee and founder of AFG, who are Australian Finance Group, which is now Australia's largest finance broking company and the banner under which Andrew and I operate. Now, we started that business back in 1990 and running a business model called Mortgage Monitors. And this was about showing people how to run their cash flow through their mortgage. So interest on home loans is calculated on a daily basis, yet charged to your account at the end of the month. So what we would get people to do is put their monthly wage actually into their mortgage rather than their savings account, thus offsetting the interest that they're paying on the mortgage each month. And therefore, when you make your principal and interest loan repayment at the end of the month, more of that loan repayment is paying off interest rather than just the interest of the loan. There's probably a bit more explanation required to that, but it is coming up with these useful ways of reducing the overall interest that you pay is such an important thing, maximising the loan structures available to us out there. And also avoiding mistakes. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes and most common mistakes that I see behind all the time is people will, generally speaking, when they first get a foot in the housing market, buy a house, live in it, pay almost all the debt off, and then at some stage want to upgrade and move house. They'll often then rent that property out and borrow 100% of a property to buy a new property to live in. So
just the absolute wrong way around, isn't it, Luke?
Correct. So they'll have an investment property with no debt on it and then be living in a house that's mortgaged up to the hilt. Now, debt on your own home is not tax deductible, while debt on an investment property is. So they've got their debts the wrong way around. Now, that's a mistake that cannot be undone, only at a massive cost. So it's things like that, that getting advice from a qualified and experienced broker like Andrew is just essential. And again, this is where I referred to in our previous podcast that, you know, buying a home is well and good, and indeed, you know, I'd love to talk to people about investing in property and that type of thing. But unless you get this bit of it right, it's a pointless exercise.
See,
I'm sorry to come in over the top there, Andrew.
Like what you've just said then, for the person like myself who knows nothing about the money and the financing, in my mind, it's like pay the house off and get another house. You know, so there's so many things that you can teach. But I guess there's other people in my situation who might have a mortgage or various loans. How can they be sure they're getting the best deal available at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'll refer this over to Andrew, but it costs absolutely nothing to have a chat to our finance team. And I say this almost without exception, that I can't recall the last person who came to us who had an existing loan scenario whose situation we weren't able to dramatically improve.
Yes.
Or the very worst case scenario, if you come and talk to us, it costs nothing to do so. And we can say, hey, look, you're doing things as well as you can. You're on the best deal possible. But Andrew, I'll let you jump in there as well, if I may.
No, that's exactly right, Luke. Where we sit in the market, we pride ourselves on reviewing. This is our number one motto, is once we get a customer, we review them annually. Last year, when the rates were rising every month, every second month, some of our larger loans, we were pricing them with the lender quarterly. So just to keep the existing lender in check, and we call it our home loan health check, but we review, because the longer you're with a lender, the further your rate will go out just through their increases. And we tend to find on average that we are refinancing our customers every 3 to 4 years because there's just better rates get offered out there and the lender won't meet the market or won't meet the best lender. So, you know, by chatting with your mortgage broker, they can check your current rates with your current bank. That's the most important thing. We don't just go out to refinance you willy-nilly. We'll check your rates with your current bank. We can price the rates with your current bank to see if it's competitive. If it isn't, we can contact you, you know, we can see if we can get you a better rate. If the customer isn't happy with what's offered, then the broker will do research based on the customer's circumstances and assist with suggesting maybe 3 to 4 other lenders that you could refinance across to. Then the broker can assist with checking your current loan structure to see if it's correct based on your current position. The most important part of this is while we're doing this, we check your borrowing capacity. We also check your equity available to see how much you can borrow in case you're looking to upgrade your home or release some equity to do some renovations, buy a new car, go on an overseas holiday, or importantly, look to purchase a new investment property.
You mentioned it before. What's your opinion on interest rates? Because they went up a fair bit last year in Oz. Are they? What's your opinion? Are they going up? Are they going down?
I'm just jumping in. Hang on, this is Luke. Sorry. Yeah, look, I'm really stingent on this. I'd be amazed if we're not at the peak of a cycle. If you see at the moment, all the banks are currently offering fixed rates lower than the variable rates. So what that means is that all the banks' economists are telling us that they believe interest rates are going to come down. Now, not that they're always right, but that's certainly the opinions of the economists.
No, correct.
In my humble opinion, I firmly believe that probably up to three of the last interest rate rises that we had so dramatically over the last 2 years were totally unnecessary. I think they would pull the wrong levers. In my opinion, I think that interest rates have peaked, and I believe towards the middle to possibly the end of this year that rates certainly should be coming down. That's my opinion. I know there's differing opinions to that. That's my opinion. I'd love your take on this, Andrew. We haven't actually discussed this.
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts. The banks offer podcasts that we can listen to regularly with economists and that type of thing. And like in the background, there is quite a few banks over the last 4 or 5 months just slightly increasing their variable rates, okay? So they could be, depending on LVR tiers, like some lenders, if you're below 60%, will offer a lot better rate than what you would be lending if you're at 80%. So throughout those tiers, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, 80 to 90, there's been a bit of creeping in the background outside the RBA increasing rates. But what we're finding is at the same time, fixed rates, 1, 2, and 3 year fixed rates are coming back. So that's usually a pretty good sign that rates should be starting to come down. Or I tend to think we may have another slight rate rise, but I think we'll probably see that flatten for the rest of the year, maybe start to see some decreases towards the end of the year. I don't think they're going to come back a lot, but, you know, maybe 1%. So that's where I think interest rates are.
What is an interest rate at the moment? It's around about sort of 6%, isn't it, for most houses?
Yep, correct. Absolutely. Owner-occupied, yep, around the 6%, and investment interest-only loans around the 6.3%.
Okay, and what was it a year ago?
Does amaze me. Like a year ago, we were getting 2.25% owner-occupied, 2.5%. Interest-only was 2.75%.
So why did it go up?
Inflation, there's many factors attributed to why the rates are.
Who benefited from it all?
Well, it's just due to inflation. It's not that, so the banks haven't increased their margins. It's not that the banks have risen the rates and their margins have magically increased. I think it's just due to the turmoil the world's in at the moment.
If I may just jump in, it absolutely was the government's really saw as their only lever to pull to keep inflation under control. But where I jumped in before and said that I believe that some of the interest rate rises were unnecessary is because the circumstances for the inflation were so outside the norm because of the COVID situation.
Correct.
And a lot of the price increases that we're looking at have been driven by experiences that are not the norm.
Yes.
You know, the supply chain issues that we've had because of the COVID lockdown have led to increases in prices of materials and export imports, etc. That are just outside the norm. So that's why I don't believe that the rate rises were correct, and I don't think it was a fair indication of a normal market economy. I think we're in such unprecedented times,
yes,
and that's why I have probably a little different view on it.
They did well with COVID, guys, didn't they? They found a way to really crush the economy with that one.
But us Melbourneers, Wes, you and I mean, 2 years, the most lockdown city in the world. It's just extraordinary.
I migrated during that time, but I mean, it's a lot for a flu. What it's cost everybody. You know, they've made it harder. You know, that's my thing. They've made it harder to migrate. They've made it harder to buy houses. Let's turn this around. And you mentioned Andrew before. It's good. It's, you know, you guys can also, because lots of people when they come here, like it gets expensive. So you mentioned car loans, you know, if they're looking to buy, you know, properties, like, you know, external properties, personal loans. Do you help with like student loans and all that as well? Or is it just the other ones I mentioned?
No, we can look at, we offer your full suite of finance. So we can do vehicle and equipment finance. We've got rates as low as 6.55% for those types of loans. We do consumer and commercial loans, no financial low doc lending up to $300,000. We also do cash flow lending, lines of credit, debtor finance, invoice finance for businesses. Personal loans, doing lots of those. We can get rates as low as 6.75% for personal loans and up to pretty high amounts, which is surprising, but that might help some of your clients to furnish the new home if they don't want to bring all their furniture from overseas. And finance for small to large developments. So, you know, people that might be subdividing their backyard, that's been the flavour of the last 6 months for us. You know, subdividing, building the townhouse out the back and going to rent it out, we can handle all that type of finance.
Yeah, good on you guys. Well, look, I just appreciate you guys coming on. I mean, this is, you know, for the listeners, this is now sort of normal, typical sort of podcast where we're sort of interviewing a migrant, getting their perspective. But, you know, we have to listen to what people want to know about, and through our webinars and everything. Sorry for the background noise, guys. My 1-year-old daughter obviously agrees during the background. But appreciate your time, Luke and Andrew, and, you know, and the knowledge as well. You got the experience that, you know, that people can trust. When people say to me, you know, why should I do a skills assessment or a visa through you guys? I'll just mention that because we're part of the skills assessment pathway. We're also part of the visa pathway. What about you guys? Why should people trust you guys?
Yeah, look, we've been in the industry, Andrew, for 30 years. Our accreditations with AFG are the absolute market leaders. The CEO of AFG, Brett McKeon, and the co-founder, Malcolm Watkins, are close personal friends of mine, absolute leaders of the industry. Our close and ongoing association with them, and indeed our other partners throughout the business, such as Quest, etc. Andrew, you know, they're all absolute heads of the industry. Furthermore, within Andrew's team, there's also, I just did want to mention this, accountants and financial planners. So we have absolute astute heads of industry at every level of our business. Our length of existence and history also speaks volumes in terms of longevity in the space.
And from our side, we're certainly well above industry standards. So when we submit an application to a lender, we're at 83% or 84% of that deal getting approved. So that is well above industry standards. So, you know, we pick the right lender for the client's needs and wants. We get deals done. We don't, yeah, the last thing we want to do is waste the client's time and give them the runaround. So on that side of things, we're well above average with deals lodged to deals approved. As Luke said, you know, we have very experienced accountants and financial planners on hand to make sure the loans are structured right, to talk about what the client's trying to achieve and what's the best structure for that. We've got them on call. So, yeah, that stands us in pretty good stead to give your clients the best advice they can receive.
Perfect. Oh, well, Luke and Andrew, thanks again. And, guys, don't forget to tune into our next podcast. Cheers, everyone. Enjoy yours. Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks so much, Wes.
Bye.